As far as back as I can remember, I always wanted to be able to do magic. And little did I know, the supernatural was also looking for me. So flashback to 1989, the first time I had to start walking myself to the bus stop, which is about a half a mile away from where I lived. My mom and I had done about 3 different runs together. She practiced with me how to cross this really major street. It was called State Street in my hometown. And I felt like I got it. Okay, cool. So first grade, first day of school, walking this half mile toward the bus stop. And then I heard a voice because I was nervous. I was really nervous. Very stressful time for both me and my mom. Of course, I was by myself after kindergarten. And the voice was helping me to cross the street, like telling me when. And then also told me that there was a dog down the street, but that it couldn't get out. Don't worry about it. And I thought, okay, this is interesting. A few days later, and it was a soft, comforting voice. I want to add that. It was a soft, comforting voice, and it was not a familiar voice. And a few days later, on my mom's nightstand, there was a pamphlet, a funeral pamphlet. There was a woman on it. And I said, oh, who's that? And my mom said, oh, that's your Aunt Irene. You never met her. And I said, actually, she's been helping me across the street. She's been helping me. And my mom said, what? And I said, well, yeah. And she said, oh, okay. And then a few days later, she came back and told me that she, this auntie in particular, was my grandmother's sister. So she was my mom's aunt, so older. And she came back and said, you know, I was talking to your grandmother. She told me to tell you, don't be afraid. And she's actually just looking over you, right? Just trying to help you. So then flash forward to a Saturday of 80s cartoons. I'm sitting on the shag carpet in front of one of those big box TVs, very pixelated, no HD, right? Probably watching Ghostbusters or Ninja Turtles. And I hear this, Dexter! Out of my right ear. Right, right. I'm watching cartoons, right? And I turn around to look. There's nobody in the house. Of course, my mom is in the house. So I run down the hall to the kitchen. I can smell grease frying because we used to have eat French fries on Saturdays. And there was gospel music playing because we were very much a Christian household. So gospel music was playing. She couldn't hear me. And I said, Mom, and I had to wave my hand. And she looked back and she was singing along. And she turned the music down. She said, what? I said, did you call me? And she said, no, I didn't call you. I said, well, I heard somebody call me. And she said, oh, it must be your imagination. And I said, So then I walk back down the hallway to the living room, and I'm looking under couches. I'm looking outside. There's nobody outside screaming to each other. None of that. And then all of this activity stopped until 2002, when I was a junior in college at the University of Hartford, and my university had a series of dorms they were renting at this seminary where priests go to live, work. There's, you know, it was very cathedral-esque. It was up on a hill in Bloomfield, Connecticut. And as I was moving my stuff in, I bumped into a gentleman who was helping another person who was going to be staying there, all guys, because it's a seminary, move in. And he said, hey, are you moving in here? Me, thinking I found a friend. Yeah, I am. He said, oh, damn, dude. I said, what? He said, this place is haunted. And I said, oh, shit. And so, nonetheless, so I go in, I pack my stuff. I don't think I slept the entire week, right, the first week, because the rooms were small. The walls were very tall and cathedral-esque, all white. The floors were wooden. There was lots of red carpeting. So everybody's step was silent, right, except the clanging of the doors, which were heavy wooden doors, and these heavy loud locks that would, you know, click when you shut your door. I think I had to lift mine up to get it to shut, too, because the wood was a little bit off-centered. But nothing happened. Right. And then until November, when I was walking down the hall, all the way down this really long hallway to the showers, and the lights started to flicker. It was just a brief split second. If you noticed it, you would notice it. You would probably ignore it. But then it started happening all the time in the evening. And then it would happen when I would get to the shower room. This place was, it was mostly empty because most of the students who stayed here would go on campus, main campus. So if you were there, you were mostly there to study because it was quiet. And what was fun, and I said to myself, well, if this is the most haunted it's going to get, I can live with this. And then it started to happen when I would go to friends' houses. I was in Hartford, Connecticut at the time. So when I would go to friends' houses, and what stood out to me is when I asked them, do you see that? They would say, no. So they didn't see any of this flickering happening. And I said, okay, well, maybe it's me. But then the dream started. So then I started having dreams about coworkers, about fellow students, and I saw my boss, who was smoking a cigarette on a Friday. I'll never forget. It was November. I could see my breath when we were talking. She was like a mentor to everybody. So she was smoking, and I said, I had a dream about you last night. I felt really awkward saying this. And she said, well, tell me about it. she was kind of like the auntie of the students at my school. And I said, well, I saw a candle burning on a dresser, and then I saw wind blowing it off. I saw some blue flame on the top of the dresser, but nothing was engulfed in flame. So if you're burning candles this weekend, I don't know what this means, just be careful. And that was that. Monday morning, she comes back. She said, I told my husband about you. Well, what about me? Right? I just came to work. What about me? And she said, we had a violent storm in Torrington, Connecticut, which is about an hour away from Hartford. And our electricity went out and we had to burn candles all weekend. And I said, oh, there's something happening here. I had to phone a friend. So I called my mom's cousin, her name was Janice. Rest in peace. She was older and she was the family psychic. And everybody considered her to be nuts because this was a Christian family, right? So, but I knew that she was probably the only person who could define for me what I was experiencing. And so she said, you know what? You have a lot of psychic energy. I've always felt it, but I didn't feel like it was appropriate to tell you until now. And I was like, well, it would have been nice for a little bit of a heads up. How can you train me? And she said, and I don't know how to train you. But every time she came in town, she had playing cards, she had candles burning, clients coming in and out of the house, but she didn't know how to train me. And she said, well, read your Bible. And I don't know if anybody's ever read the Bible. There's no instructions on how to be a psychic in the Bible. So I said, okay, well, you know, maybe this is the end. So that was it until 2009. So this is so interesting. So in 2009, I got this calling to go study Chinese medicine and acupuncture. And when I get to school, we're learning about points called supernatural tower, spiritual soul gate, etc. And I'm like, oh, this is home. This feels like this is my language. I want to learn a little bit more about this. And there was a colleague of mine who also played around with what we call tarot. And so we began to meet with each other weekly and just start to not answer or respond to any questions, but just receive images. And over time, we really started to get material that was juicy and actually relevant and that the other person could confirm. And so we started asking people to come in and volunteer to let us read for them. She's practicing in DC now, but she's not reading for people. She got really good. But actually, I recognized that this was a really interesting winding path that helped me then and now as a psychic medium, a doctor of Chinese spirit medicine, help people and some ghosts reconnect with aspects of themselves that they also lost. So thank you for letting me tell my story.